Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
Presented by Progressive Insurance, guests on the Goodyear Hotline. That was a very informative and spicy little sports center from Kevin Winter. Color me impressed. I liked it. Got a lot of stuff in there, and you heard some of the big stories of this day, including the Cowboys now. And we were reminded during the break, you know, we were just doing this stuff off the top of our heads, that Cleveland won a playoff game without their coach last year. That playoff game, they beat Pittsburgh. They did it without Kevin Stefanski, who had tested positive for COVID that week. So we have the latest on the Cowboys. They're going to be without their coach going into a big game on Thursday. And we'll see where all that takes us again. If we get any further information on whether there's going to be some players missing and all that kind of stuff, we will let you know. We cover this stuff to the extent that it impacts the sports that we care about and that you care about. That is the degree to which I will cover it. I just explained that a moment ago here. So let's get back to business here. We always try and do I'm sorry what, because you need to hear from a lot of different people today.
I'm sorry what? What?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry what?
I'm sorry, what?
I want to start with the Harbaugh one because I didn't get it in the first hour. So Jim Harbaugh finally beats Ohio State on Saturday. And we're going to have Dan Dierdorf talking about it at the end of this hour. Dierdorf, Michigan alum, does the games for Michigan Radio. So Harbaugh is asked about it all. And, you know, Ohio State had talked about trying to hang 100 on him and all that kind of stuff after the game didn't get played last year because of COVID and everything else. And Harbaugh took a shot. Listen to this.
There's definitely stuff that people said that spurred us on even more. Sure. Sometimes people that are standing on third base think they hit a triple, you know, but they didn't.
Oh, how about Jim? Ryan Day hit a triple.
So good.
Oh, I love it. Is it fair? Is Ryan Day purely the beneficiary of right place, right time? Urban built this unbelievable program and he just steps in. Is that a fair thing to say about him?
I don't think it's entirely fair because what he's done there is really impressive. He's also brought in really good recruiting classes. Those don't have anything to do with Urban, obviously. But Jim Harbaugh is exactly right. Comparing Ohio State to Michigan over the last 10, 15, 20 years is not apples to apples. They've not had similar players of quality. And so I think it's exactly right to say that he started on third base while I started on first. I think it was beautiful.
That's not what I think he's saying, though.
What do you think he's saying?
I think he's saying Ryan Day / all the people there think he's such a great coach, but mm-hmm. he was actually handed the keys to a Mercedes, and now you're impressed because he's driving fast.
I like that even more.
I think that's what he's saying. Triple, that's what triple means, mm-hmm. right? You've heard that expression
right,
before, used in many different contexts. Okay, I like that one. I wanted to get it in. We'll get Dierdorf on. Next stop, Aaron Rodgers. I told you on TV this morning, I think he's the MVP of the league. I think he is the best player in football right now. He's got a toe. He, in fact, may get surgery as soon as today. Here he was yesterday.
The toe felt good most of the game. Was just actually in talking with the docs. Not sure at this point. We're going to do some more testing in the morning and get a better view of what's going on in there and then make a decision at that time.
So the testing in the morning is now. The morning that we're talking about is right now. We're awaiting word on what's going to happen. They have a bye. He has said he will not have any surgery that will cause him to miss games. So we'll see. I think they've got a shot. There's just something about this year. I mean, they were the best team in football last year, or the best team in the NFC last year. They had the one seed and everything else. Yet there's something about this team that gives me a different feeling. Yesterday, watching them, I was like, they're not going to lose. That defense make plays, and Rodgers is ridiculous.
There's two things about this team. The defense is much better. Right now, that's the number 5 ranked defense in the league.
Yeah.
And A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon is a player.
I love him.
He's making a big difference.
How much fun is he to watch?
Oh my God.
He is, you know, whether you root for or against them, he's a Connecticut kid, right, Nuno? Didn't he grow up in Connecticut someplace? A.J. Dillon?
Not that I know of.
No, he did. I'm almost positive. I only said that because Nuno is a Connecticut kid. I'm positive I have that right. He's a Connecticut kid. He grew up in Connecticut.
Yeah, you're right. New London.
New London, Connecticut. Yeah. So, you know, that's a little bit of the hometown of this show, if you will, and of ESPN. So, yeah, he's tremendous. A.J. Dillon is tremendous. He doesn't just run you over. Like, he jukes guys. He catches passes. He's a very mm-hmm. good player. They are in good shape. The Packers, to me, are very dangerous right now. There are two teams that I think, well, you should put Arizona. Not fair to Arizona not putting them in this. But you got to think about Rodgers, and you got to think about Brady. How about Brady and his team finding a way in the second half?
You know, they just made big play after big play. That's what it takes to win. You know, you got to make the plays. I mean, there's not a lot of margin of error. There's really well-coached teams that have a lot of good players, and everyone's working hard to win. You know, you either got to make the play or you don't. And we didn't make them as much in the first half, but we certainly made them in the second half.
I mean, it is all about the guys he brought there. Brady is the GM. Give Rodgers the MVP and give Brady the executive of the year. Because without Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown, I don't know where this team is, and none of them are in Tampa if not for him, right?
No question. Gronk right now is playing at a Hall of Fame level. The game he had yesterday was ridiculous.
Yeah.
And he affects the run game just as much. When he's on the field, Greeny, this year, they're averaging like 6.5 yards per play. It's the best offense in the league when he's on the field for them. He's still ridiculous.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. The great Dan Dierdorf still to come in this hour on the Goodyear Hotline talking about Michigan and a whole lot more. Let's get to Belichick next. I just want to hear what he said. I haven't heard this yet. So let's hear Bill. His team has won six straight. They were 2-4. Now they're 8-4. They're playing great. And he asked the question, is this team headed in the direction that he wants it? Let's guess what he says to that, because they've won six straight games. I'm not sure how the answer to that could be anything but, well, yeah. You know, we're winning all every week. Let's hear what he said. Is the team headed in the direction that he wants it?
Yeah, I don't know. Play Buffalo on Monday night, and we'll see. Eight games isn't enough to clinch anything or win anything, so we got a long way to go.
I mean, I love it. Look, I knew that. Here's the thing. Here's what I'm envisioning. They have a scheduling disadvantage this week, which is to say the Bills played Thursday and he played Sunday, and now they play. So it's a Monday night. The Bills actually have an extra long. The Bills have the ridiculous. They have like a mini break.
Giants did last week.
They go from an off week. Mm-hmm. Well, not quite with the Giants. The Giants had a bye.
And then they played Monday, right?
And then they played Monday. The Bills didn't have a bye. They played Thursday. So they actually played and still have the extra time.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
So they've got like a 10-day break. Bills got 8 days. I guarantee you, he is all over his guys about how behind they are. They just pounded Tennessee into submission, and now he is all over them about how the Bills have an enormous advantage in this huge game. The Patriots have the Bills, then a bye, then the Colts, then the Bills again. Then after that, they finish with two games they should win easily. It's the Dolphins.
Jags.
Well, the Dolphins all of a sudden don't look so easy.
And Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm. But they should win those games if they need to. So this is when it's going to be decided now. These next couple of games, especially the two against Buffalo. And you heard Rex, if you're with us at the beginning of the show, Rex said he thinks the Bills are going to win. Let's hear one more from Bill, because I'm always interested in him, saying we'll take the win and move on.
Good all around. Effort. Again, left some plays out there. Certainly some things we could have done better, but you know, we'll take it and move on. Finish this game up tomorrow and get ready for Buffalo.
I mean, have you ever heard a person sound so unhappy in your entire life? They've won six straight games. That's what he's saying. Well, you know, we won. And, you know,
that's the winning coach there?
That's the winning coach. I would bet you that every losing coach in the NFL yesterday had more energy in his voice than Bill did after a win. I mean, it's just incredible. But that's, like, what can you say? He's not only the coach of the year, he's the coach of the millennium. He's doing as good a coaching job right now as I've ever seen anybody do.
By the way, did you see what their scoring margin is during this six-game win streak?
I mean, they've won a lot of these games big, so you're going to tell me it's big. So six, have they won by a combined total of... They just put it up on my TV screen here. So it's 148 points?
Plus 148 over the last six games.
Give me some math on that. What is that divided by six?
Almost 25.
25 points a game, yeah.
Almost exactly 25.
That is ridiculous.
You never know by listening to the coach.
And they've played a lot of bad games, a lot of bad teams, but they've played some decent ones too. One more. This is Daniel Jones. Do I have him up here? Did we lose Daniel Jones, guys? I had him. We seem to have lost the Daniel Jones son, but that doesn't really make any difference. The Giants are boring as hell. I mean, what an unimaginably uninventive win that was, from which you take nothing. That game was all about the Eagles losing much more than it was about the Giants winning. Let's pause briefly on that thought, because we got Nuno's note still to come, and then we got the Hall of Famer Dan Dierdorf, who said this past weekend was the most pride he has ever felt. And you will hear why as we continue. This is Greeny on ESPN Radio.
Greeny, the podcast.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Greeny today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/Greeny, GREENY.
All right, Greeny with you here as always for a live from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Chase. The one, the only, the great Dan Dierdorf will join us coming up in a little bit. He said this past weekend was the most pride he's ever felt. You'll hear exactly why. That's a guy who's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame and obviously one of the great announcers of all time. Just a great guy. Very quickly, on a day filled with football conversation, did you see the news that Lee Elder died? That made me feel sad. Lee Elder, who became a legendary figure in the sport of golf a long time ago, multiple generations ago, and is, I guess, best known for having been the first African-American ever to compete in the Masters in 1975. He was honored as one of the honorary starters this past year at Augusta, and you could see that while he was in ill health, you could see how much that meant to him, and it was lovely to see. Is an incredibly important person in the history of that sport. And so I'm just seeing the news now of his passing. I would have prepared a few more comments on it. Maybe we'll do a little more on that tomorrow because he's a very important person in the history of that sport. Tiger Woods has talked a great deal about that, and as have many others. And if you're one who cares about golf, Lee Elder is a very important person in the sport. So our condolences certainly to his family and friends. Lee Elder, again, passing away today. I'm just seeing that news as we go. The other breaking news, again, the Cowboys are going to be without their head coach, Mike McCarthy, and who knows how many others when they play on Thursday night. McCarthy has tested positive. Shefty is reporting that up to 8 positive tests are in the organization. And as you know, as we've seen these things, they tend to roll out sequentially, which is to say you got 8 tests today. Then you hold your breath for tomorrow and see how many more come and how many more come. We did not see a single game canceled last year. We did see games rescheduled, right, moved to different days and times. So that obviously could be something that is on the table here if the Cowboys are not able to field the team on Thursday, and we'll see. 8 tests coming back on a Monday is obviously a very frightening set of circumstances from that standpoint. So we'll keep on top of all this news for you here. In the meantime, with Dan coming, let's do a little Nuno's Notes. What's going on, Nuno?
Not much, Greeny.
Nuno is a unique personality.
There's just that je ne sais quoi.
He puts notes on all of the games into the Google Doc for me.
I'm definitely a savant.
And I like it. I just enjoy it.
Nuno's Notes.
Sure. Let's do it.
So we got Nuno's notes here. He will just put in his thoughts on some of the games from yesterday, and I will read you what some of them are because they're interesting. The Giants beat the Eagles yesterday, and Nuno wrote, "Team still stinks, but they haven't quit on their head coach." Now, you fired Joe Judge on this show last Tuesday, Nuno. Have you rehired him as a result of their not quitting on him?
No. I think you need a complete and utter just cleansing with this organization.
So the fact that the team hasn't quit on its head coach does not change your view on its future.
No, you want to see guys actually go out there and compete, and I think that's one of those good signs, right? You want to see the evolution of a Xavier McKinney and a Julian Love, and you want to see that. So, and by them not quitting on their head coach, it shows that they're invested.
So that says more about them, you're telling me, than it does about him.
To a point.
Nuno's just not going to give him any love.
I think Joe Judge has kind of acquitted himself well. Like, that was a game yesterday he's not supposed to win. He wins.
The judge? You just gave the judge an acquittal there?
See, I'm not even smart enough to have planned that. I just said that because you often use that phrase.
So the jury has not decided yet on the judge, yeah, is what you are saying.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Next game, Bengals obliterate the Steelers, and Nuno writes, "Dear Steelers, if your quarterback is throwing interceptions to Eli Apple, it's beyond time to move on from him." Look, that was a total meltdown, right, Nuno? I mean, the Steelers yesterday were in total meltdown. Who is their starting quarterback going to be week one next year?
It's better not be Big Ben.
Is there any chance? I mean,
I can't
that
imagine.
Would stun me. I don't think their quarterback of next year is on their roster, is what I'm trying to say.
What about a guy like Mitchell Trubisky, right? Brian Daboll, I think people a year away from the Bears, that actually might work for them, because that's the type of guy they're going to have to take a chance on, because it doesn't look like Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay anymore.
Well, let's see. Is that a place Russell Wilson would be interested in going? I just don't know.
They weren't on
his
list.
At the quarterbacks who are good. They weren't one of the four teams on his list. That's right. If New Orleans, what is Jameis Winston's contractual situation?
They just signed him to a 1-year.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Prove it year.
Russell Wilson could easily wind up in New Orleans.
Is it a Jimmy G type of guy? Like, is that what we're looking at for next year with the Steelers?
I feel like you want to do better than that.
I don't know if
you
make it through four quarters in the AFC. Yeah. That guy.
that's true. Anyway, we'll see. So, no, that felt, I talked about it earlier, that felt like the end of something. The Bucs beating the Colts yesterday, Nuno wrote, at the end of the day, the Bucs are clear Super Bowl favorites. Meanwhile, I thought the Colts could be serious contenders, but then the real Carson Wentz flashes during these games, and you see why it won't happen. Wentz is infuriating to watch because he has moments, and you're like, oh, my God, he's so good. There's like five quarterbacks in the whole league who can do some of the stuff he can do. But then there aren't five who would make some of the mistakes that he makes. Like, there aren't five guys in the league that would throw that, and you're like, what are you doing? They just... At what point do you give up on it ever being coached out of him? That's the question.
I think, yeah, it's then on the coach to just do the best he possibly can, because his body just has always worked better than his brain does. And every game there's a couple mistakes like that.
All right, next up, on the Patriots win yesterday, Nuno writes, "The Patriots aren't just the best team in the AFC. They have the quarterback that I trust the most right now not to make the killer mistake." Isn't that fascinating that we're giving that to a rookie? But here's what I will say. And you've been hearing me say this for years if you listen to me. This is all organizational, right? This is all organizational successes and organizational failures. What is happening right now in some of these places are just organizational failures. What is happening in New England is the ultimate organizational success. And the reason Mac Jones won't make the killer mistake is they won't let him. His own staff won't let him. They won't put him in a position to do something stupid. They won't have him flinging it down the field. I guess if they get way behind. But if they get way behind, it won't be because he made killer mistakes. And then at that point, you won't say they were killer mistakes. They were just a desperate team trying to make desperation plays. But he's being so well handled, so well developed, so well coached, that I actually agree with that take. If and when they lose in the playoffs, it will not be because the quarterback made a critical mistake. Do you agree with that?
I do. There also is this sort of perception out there that they're play calling with training wheels on. But yesterday, Greeny, he threw for 200 yards on first down. Like, he is growing before our eyes very quickly, and the coaching staff seems to trust him even more now than they did a month ago.
He's great.
He's great.
Let's just say it. He's great.
Yeah, man.
But the reason he's great, if he was drafted by the Jets or by the Jaguars or by the Bears, he wouldn't be this.
No way.
I don't know what he'd be in San Francisco. Maybe pretty good, because they're pretty good, and the Trey Lance thing is what it is. But if he had been drafted by those teams, we wouldn't be having this conversation. That's what I mean when I say it's an organizational success. But as a result, they have a great quarterback. He's playing great right now. Let me read a few more of these from Nuno here. The Jets beat the Texans. He writes, enjoy Victory Monday, Greeny. You deserve it, even if your quarterback threw an interception off the back of his receiver who wasn't looking. I take issue with that. It wasn't a receiver. It was a running back. He threw it off the back of Tyler Johnson. This is what Orlovsky said to me. I came in this morning and I asked him about it. Orlovsky said, that's one of those plays that looks a lot worse than it is, because for 1 second there, the running back did look back, and that's what Zach saw. So he's going to flick it to him. In the meantime, what the running back saw when he looked back is Zach running, so he immediately turns around to block. So it's the ultimate in, like, just bad luck, and it results in a butt fumble-esque looking kind of play. It's that bad.
Orlovsky also is sort of the expert of plays looking much worse than they are.
Wow.
I thought you were going to say he's the expert on always defending the quarterback no matter what.
He's that expert also.
Let me read you one more on the Falcons beating the Jaguars. He writes, Oklahoma was calling you, Urban. Just do it. What do you think? Do you think Urban Meyer goes back to college? There's a lot of openings. LSU was open. Urban Meyer has won big in the won two championships in the SEC. Oklahoma is now open. They're going to the SEC, and obviously they're a powerhouse kind of program. USC just closed. We know what happened there. And what else was open? Oh, Florida was open. They found a coach this weekend. So do you think, Nuno, think that Urban is a college coach again next year?
I don't. I think it's bad timing for Urban and going back to college, because if it was next year you had these openings, I think you could do it. But I don't think he will, have some health issue this offseason where it sends him back to college.
You are so snide. That's the beauty of Nuno. And that's why we bring you Nuno's Notes. All right, coming up next, Dan Dierdorf had just a magnificent call. When Michigan won the game the other day, he said he's never been more proud. And I thought, you know what? We should cover that game. Let's have a conversation. Dierdorf will come on. We'll talk with him about that.
Greeny, the podcast.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is Greeny on ESPN Radio. Delighted that you've chosen to spend some time with us today. And we've had Dan Dierdorf on the show many times on the Goodyear Hotline with you for every mile on the road to greatness. Goodyear more driven. But it was when I heard this call as I watched the end of the stunning Michigan-Ohio State game. And again, I said it earlier in this show. If you had told me Michigan was going to win, I wouldn't have been stunned. If you had told me they were going to bludgeon Ohio State the way they did in Ann Arbor on Saturday, I would have been very surprised, and indeed I was. And then I heard Dan Dierdorf say this, and I said, we need to get him on the show.
Wow, wow, wow. I've never been more proud of a group of kids and a coaching staff in my entire life than I am of this 2021 version of the Michigan Wolverines. After a devastating campaign last year, Jim, where they weren't even competitive, and to turn it around, what they've done, going to the Big Ten championship game, my heart is bursting with pride to be a part of this Michigan program.
The great Dan Dierdorf joins us here on ESPN Radio. Good morning, Dan. Thank you, as always.
God, who was that sentimental slob?
That's an offensive lineman talking up there. But look, that moment takes place, obviously, as you were watching all those fans. It felt like all 100,000 of them in the big house running out onto that snow-covered field. I mean, I just can't remember a more dramatic setting than the snow falling on that day for that game and that scene. So I give you all latitude to have been just as sentimental as you could possibly be.
Well, you're right. You're a Big Ten guy. I guess it'd be better if we were playing Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
But yes, it was just classic Michigan, Ohio State, snow in the air. It was cold. It was in the upper 20s. It was just the way Michigan, Ohio State was supposed to be played. And you're right. It was, Ohio State did not lose that game. Michigan won the game. We won every aspect of that game. And that's one of the things I'm really proud about.
Now, you look at this season. The one thing you didn't mention in that call there, it's not just how badly last year went, but it's also the game they lost to Michigan State, whatever that is now, 4 or 5 weeks ago, because that was another one of those, well, it's same old, you know, Harbaugh Michigan teams, exactly the kind of game they tend to lose, and your season can spiral from there. And the fact that not only did it not, but that they find themselves where they find themselves now, I think that feels to me, at least, like a big piece of the story here too, Dan.
It really is. And that Michigan State loss was so frustrating because, you know, we're up by a couple touchdowns and what, like 3 or 4 minutes left in the third quarter. And we end up blowing it by getting conservative and not cashing in. And that was the toughest part is that we had that game won. So this is the one thing I can say about this Michigan team is we've really got balance. I mean, we've got a good, solid, if not spectacular offense. We're not as flashy as some. We are a very good defensive football team that I think has talent at all three levels. But we have one thing that you need to be a really good defensive football team. And, Mike, you know what I'm talking about. We have two great edge rushers.
Mm-hmm.
And they're game changers, Aiden Hutchinson and David Ajabo. And on special teams, we're rock solid as well. So I think we're well suited to keep going.
Yeah, Dan Dierdorf with us here. Hey, but what is the line on the game Saturday? They got to be a game against Wisconsin. I watch Big Ten football every single week. For anyone who listening to the show doesn't know, as Dan pointed out, I'm a Big Ten alum. And in the absence of my team, I always root for the Big Ten. So I need to see Michigan win this game this week against an Iowa team that does not have a lot of offense. Well, it's got to be a double digit.
10.5.
10.5. So, Dan, how would you describe what this win meant? Like, all of us watched it. I can't even fathom what the audience of that game is going to. I haven't seen it yet, but I can't even fathom it because it was just so good.
It was the most watched college game of the season up to this point.
Yeah.
Obviously the playoffs will do higher in the bowl games, but it was the most watched game all year. Watching your show earlier this morning.
Yeah.
Everybody's right. We've got the burden of carrying the Big Ten because if Iowa were to beat us Saturday night, I think the Big Ten will be out of the playoffs. And so, you know, Michigan, Iowa don't want to hear this, but, you know, we're kind of carrying the banner for the rest of the Big Ten.
That's exactly right. And you won't say this and you shouldn't. I'll say it. If Iowa beats Michigan, I will be even more surprised than I was this past weekend. I watched Iowa play all year long. If you score two touchdowns in this game, you're going to win. It's just that Michigan is going to win this game if they score two touchdowns because Iowa's offense is they're not exactly Ohio State. Let's put it that way.
Well, let's also talk about something.
Yeah.
I was coming on here this morning.
Yeah.
And I had somebody in the crosshairs, and that was – your old Paul Finebaum.
Mm-hmm.
And watching this morning as Paul very graciously waved the white flag when it comes to criticizing Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
If we lose to Ohio, that promise of his is going to go right out the window. So
yeah,
you're right. I think we are, if Iowa plays their game, if we play our game, we should win that football game. I agree with you. I think we're the better team, but that's not always the way it works.
For sure. Dan Dierdorf, the great Dan Dierdorf with us here. I want to talk about Jim Harbaugh. And I think I've mentioned this to you before, that when I first started working in sports broadcasting was in Chicago, and Jim was the quarterback of the Bears. So he was really the first big-time player that I ever covered in football. And so I've always been inclined to like him and root for him and all that kind of stuff. And he was an absolutely – he'd been an unbelievable job at each of his college stops and then in San Francisco. And so I was the last person to start questioning it at Michigan. I was always the one saying, no, he's going to get it, he's going to get it, he's going to get it. Last year shook my belief in all of that, I will admit it. So for him to have this year here, how would you describe, as one who's as close to it as you are, Dan, what this win and this season mean to Jim Harbaugh?
Well, he completely reinvented himself. They restructured his contract. He took a multi-million-dollar pay cut because he said, hey, I talk about this being a meritocracy. I've got to live it. I haven't earned what I was getting paid. He took the advice of some people, and he brought in a lot of new coaches, not one of them over 40 years old, that has reinvigorated the program. The kids love playing for Jim Harbaugh. Yes, we've had a problem with Ohio State, but you know what? The entire Big Ten has had a problem with Ohio State. Mm-hmm. If you don't like Michigan, you talk about it being Harbaugh's failure. The reality is Ohio State, with Tressel, Urban Meyer, and now they've been on a historic run. I mean, give them a lot of credit. They've had the number one recruiting class in the Big Ten every year. They have the most talented football team year in and year out in the Big Ten. So give Ohio State a lot of credit. Jim Harbaugh, let me tell you something. What he did this year to swallow some pride and to bring this team back the way he did, if he's not the Big Ten coach of the year, I don't know who is.
Yeah, I think that maybe even beyond that, to have Michigan now with a shot, one win against Iowa, in which they're a double-digit favorite, and they then head on to the college football playoff. They've never been to this point, and they've never been to that point. So how do you see it, Dan? Just a quick look around the landscape. Saturday was unbelievable. I'm not sure how much of the rest of the day you got a chance to watch, but the Alabama-Auburn game was unbelievable. Oklahoma State was an incredible game. How do you see the whole chaos of it all as we have 1 week left to figure out the four teams?
Well, yeah, I'm no different than everybody else. All we can do is just take care of our business. Mm-hmm. It's there for the taking. If we beat Iowa, we're in the final four. We'll be number two or number three. And, I don't know that anybody wants to be number four and get Georgia right off the bat. If go ahead and beat Alabama in the SEC championship. But, Greeny, that you and I are having this conversation, if you'd have come to me in September and said this is what we're going to be talking about, I would have immediately ordered a toxicology test because you would be on something. So that's what's making this so enjoyable, is that I'm pinching myself. I can't believe I'm actually talking to you about Michigan's national championship prospects.
Nor can I. And I think everyone is surprised, and it's great to hear that you were as surprised as everyone else. By the way, quickly, before I let you go, Dan, I was on a plane recently. We were going to do our NBA show in Boston, and I was just purely by random or by chance, I was seated next to your close friend, Mr. Bob Costas, who was flying there, unfortunately, for a funeral. But I happened to be sitting next to Costas, and I got a chance to just bother him for an hour. And I assure you that all of the nice things you said about him, they are very much mutual. He has just as many nice things to say about you as you have to say about him.
I first met Bob in 1974 when he came to St. Louis to be the play-by-play voice for the Spirit of St. Louis, the old ABA basketball team. And it was apparent from the jump that this was a guy that had extraordinary talent. And, I've worked with a couple people in my career that just have, they got a lot of brain power. Al Michaels is one, and Bob Costas, the other that immediately comes to mind. Just a magnificent intellect and a good guy. Bob and I have been dear friends for a long time, and I'm glad you got a chance to visit with him. Good guy. Yeah, as are you.
The best. Dan, it's such a pleasure. Thank you very much. If they win next week and they're headed into the playoff, let's do this again, and we'll see who they're playing and figure out where it's all going to go. But congratulations to you and everybody over there. It's a pleasure to hear your voice.
Thanks, Greeny. Really nice to be on with you. And if I'm on with you next week, you'll have to tether me to the ground.
Let's root for that. Thank you, Dan Dierdorf. Always a pleasure. The call, by the way, was on Learfield. And it was. I didn't think of it immediately. You know, I watched that game like everybody else. And the hard thing about being one of the people who decides what we're going to do on a sports show on a Monday, and I don't make those decisions alone, obviously, but both the TV show and this, is how much is this going to feel old by the time we get to Monday? You know, like in the moment, Michigan winning that game felt like the biggest thing that had happened in sports that I could ever remember. And then, you know, I've been down this road before. I thought to myself, all right, we got the Alabama game. We got a full NFL Sunday. Maybe we don't want to, you know, go back to this on Monday. And then I heard that call. I don't remember where. I think I heard it on Twitter, just going through some coverage of the games. And I said, we got to put Dierdorf on to talk about that. And I'm glad that we did. That was great. And look, I went to Northwestern. The Big Ten is my conference, so I root for us in the absence of everything else. By us, I mean the conference. So I will be rooting for Michigan to beat Iowa on Saturday night, which I think they will. And I will be rooting for us for Michigan to go on and have a real shot in the college football playoff. We'll see. I mean, is there a way? How does it look right now? Let's figure this thing out right now.
Okay.
If Georgia wins convincingly, Georgia is one and Alabama is out. Right?
I agree.
Is that what we think?
Two losses and you're not a conference champion. I don't know how they could reconcile that.
I think they could reconcile it if we come up with another one of these phony, baloney, contrived overtime games and Alabama loses on a two-point conversion. But let's put that aside for a minute. If Alabama loses a relatively normal game, I think Alabama is out.
So do I.
Georgia would be one. If Michigan wins, I think they'd be two.
So do I.
I think Michigan will wind up being two.
I think they'll be two in the ranking this week.
You think they will go ahead of Alabama this week?
I do.
And Cincinnati. They were five, right?
They were
behind both of them.
Yeah.
But they blew out the number two team. So I agree with you. So this week, okay, this is smarter. Let's figure out where they're all going to be right now.
Okay.
It's going to be Georgia's going to be one.
For sure.
Michigan two.
Mm-hmm.
Alabama three.
Probably.
Cincinnati four.
Do you think Oklahoma State might leap them after beating Oklahoma?
Leap Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that would then open the door to Cincinnati getting left out of this thing.
It sure would.
Which I've been saying to you all year long, the committee is itching to find a way to do. And that's their way to do it. Have Oklahoma State beat Baylor, and then you have Alabama beat Georgia. So Alabama has to get in,
right?
And Georgia has to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Michigan has to get in. So that leaves one spot, realistically, for Oklahoma State, Cincinnati, and should I say Notre Dame? Or are they, in that scenario, are they not even in the discussion?
I think Notre Dame needs two or three things to happen, whereas Cincinnati only I think Cincinnati needs a Bama loss, a Oklahoma State loss, or a Michigan loss. Notre Dame probably needs two of those three things, or a Cincinnati loss.
All right, well, it's going to get tomorrow night should be very interesting. Tonight, I think, should be good, actually. Let's do a Monday Night Football preview here, presented by Progressive Insurance. If your pet is hurt in a car accident, Progressive pays up to $1,000 in vet expenses with free pet coverage. Visit Progressive.com. We got Seattle, Washington tonight. Which I always like saying it that way. It's the Seahawks at the Washington football team. The line I have here is a pick'em. The line has moved from Washington -2.5 to pick'em over the last week. There is no public lean. And so,
hashtag KOD. The kiss of death.
Listen, I began the season telling you I believed in Washington. Now, they've been a fraction. They've been nothing compared to what I thought they'd be. But did you notice if they win tonight, they actually are in the playoffs?
That's crazy. That is so crazy.
If they win tonight, and then the season ended tomorrow, the Washington football team would make
it. Someone said that in our pre-show meeting. I looked it up because I assumed that I had to fact check someone because they were wrong. It's insane to think that they could be in the playoffs.
They're going
to
win
tonight. They started.
The pick'em game,
wow.
I will take Washington at home to win and put together some semblance of the season I projected for them. All right, this was great fun today. Thank you, everybody, for being along as always. We will see you back in Better Than Ever, same time, same place tomorrow on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the Podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio and see it with the video on ESPN Plus. Also catch Greeny on Get Up weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN and also available wherever you get your podcast.